from Las Vegas. You're listening to Verve Church for people who don't like church. Thanks for tuning in.
Welcome to Verve Online. Verve is church for people who don't like church, coming at you from the heart of Las Vegas. I'm Vince Antonucci, the lead pastor of Verve, and I am excited you're here. Hey, if you haven't yet, why don't you say hi in the comments? Just let us know that you're here, where you're watching from. So, today we are starting a new teaching series. We're going to learn how to win, like a plan to make sure we win this year. And I bet you have friends who want to know how to win. So why don't you share this with them? You could do that right now. So, do you like winning? I don't like winning. I love hashtag winning. You love winning too, right? We all do. But when we win, it's like, so question, did you win in 2020? Thinking through 2020, did you win? Did you win in 2020? Well, for most of us, it was like the worst year ever. You feel like in 2020, I got beat up. So you might think, no, I did not win. Okay, but how would you know? How would you know if you won? Forget 2020. It was a crazy year. How about 2019? Did you win in 2019? How would you know? And forget the past. Let's talk this year, 2021. Will you win? How will you know? Today, we are starting a new series called This Is My Year. If you are sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, this series is for you. If you feel like you're not quite living the life you want to live, this series is for you. If you long for more, but keep settling for less, this series is for you. If you need to make some changes in your life, freedom from bad habits, or to gain contentment, to lose 20 pounds, to breathe new life into your marriage, to get out of debt, to stop yelling at your kids, or start going to the gym, this series is for you. We are going to learn how to win, how we can win in 2021, how to make 2021 the best, most important year of our lives. And man, after last year, we need this now more than ever. So let's put 2020 in the rear view and move towards our destiny. To do that, we're going to get a lot of help from one of the early followers of Jesus in this series. It's a guy named Paul, and we'll learn a little more about him next week. For now, I want to show you something Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Corinth, okay? It's in the book of 1 Corinthians in the Bible, chapter 9, starting in verse 24. He writes, "Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." So, Paul writes about athletes competing in a race in the games. He wrote this in about 55 AD. Corinth, the people he's writing to, was a city in Greece, and the Olympic Games took place in Greece every 4 years from 776 BC to AD 393. Okay, so they knew the Olympic Games. Also, the city of Corinth was a location of the Isthmian Games. Back then, the contests of the Olympic and Isthmian Games included wrestling and boxing and races like running races. And check this out, the games also included poetry and music competitions. For real. Back then, in the Olympics, they had rap battles, which I tried to picture that ancient Greece, some young guy has been training in his mom's basement. He's never spit rhymes in front of a crowd, but finally the time has come for him to compete in the Olympic Games. Look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to win the Olympic or IFMIAN Games, one moment, would you capture it or just let it slip? Yo, it's hard to breathe, knees weak, his chest heaves. There's vomit on his sleeves, it's mom stuffed grape leaves. He's swaying but keeps praying to Socrates to drop olives, bout cute Aphrodites. But what'd he write down? The Acropolis goes so loud. He opens his mouth, it's not words that come out, it's feta. And baklava, now the sundial runs out. The plate breaks, oh, but blow! You better lose yourself. It's true. They had, in the Olympic Games, poetry contests. Anyway, so Paul uses this sports metaphor, which is something that the Corinthians would have understood. And he writes how in the games, like in a race, he says all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. And we saw he challenges them. So run to win, run to win. You should run to win. And he says in verse 26, remember he writes, he says, therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. He's saying, listen, I don't run like someone who doesn't know where the finish line is. I'm not running aimlessly. I'm not just running. I have defined the win. I have set my destination. I know exactly where I'm going. Do you? Not everyone does. Do you ever hear the story about Mario? He won a gold medal in the 1984 Summer Olympic Games in LA and decided to compete in the 1994 Ultra Marathon in Morocco. It's a week-long race, and Mario disappeared on the fourth day. He just disappeared. He ran into a sandstorm, which caused him to go off course 186 miles. He didn't know where he was going. He was lost, but still just kept running for 9 days. 9 days. Finally, they found him. And this guy, he had been a police officer, successful career. He had won a gold medal. He accomplished lots of things. But what he's now known for is being lost. And we're all running. Some people are running with purpose, right? They're like, they are running with purpose. But others, and maybe us, we're running without purpose, aimlessly, running more like, yeah. And so many people are lost. And I'm not talking about spiritually lost. That may be true too. I mean lost in the sense that they are running aimlessly. They're running. Every day they get up and they take off. They're running, but they don't know where they're going. They don't have a finish line in mind. They're running without purpose, aimlessly. And if you don't have a finish line in mind, how can you win? So what's your finish line? What's your win? You don't know until you have that finish line, a goal. I actually took some time a few years ago and set finish lines for different areas of my life. I decided, what is the win in my life for my marriage, for my parenting, my finances, my ministry? And I would encourage you to take the time to do that, to prayerfully determine this is the finish line, to define your wins for the most important areas of your life, because until you know the win, how can you win? But right now, that might feel a little overwhelming. And so for this series that we're starting today, let's, how about this? Let's just choose one win for 2021, okay? And in this series, listen, we're not just going to choose a win. We together are going to learn how to win. So for now, we're going to focus just on this year, 2021, and on one goal. What would it mean for you to win in 2021? You get to the end of the year and it's like, yes, I did it! I won! What would that be? And there's probably a bunch of things you'd love to change, you'd love to accomplish, but for now, let's just narrow it down to one. Something that feels important right now. Maybe like, kind of like a first domino, man. If this one thing happened, I think so many good things would follow. What's your win for 2021? Maybe it's to get closer to God, to lose 20 pounds, to finally get out of debt, to find a new job, to improve your marriage, to disciple your teenager, to become a true follower of Jesus. What is your win for 2021? What's your goal? You're not going to do it if you don't define it. You will be lost, running aimlessly without purpose. What's your win? Here's what we're going to do. I want you to choose a win, choose a goal, and then write it down and tell someone, okay? Choose it, write it, tell it to someone. We're going to begin with a win. We're going to define our destination, the finish line, so that we'll know at the end of this year if we won or not, okay? We're going to choose a win, and we are going to learn how to win, because we've all done this before and not won, right? It's like, new year! New Year's resolution! And we get excited, and we set a goal, and by the end of February, oh man, what was that resolution again? Why don't we make the changes we want to make? Why don't we maintain progress over the long run? Why don't we win? That's what we're going to learn the rest of this series, starting right now, okay? We're going to learn principles that will propel us to victory. So are you ready to win? Yeah? All right, then. Let's learn. Hey, put it in the comments, man. Say, I am ready to win. I want to win in 2021. And if you're ready to win, let's learn how. Here's principle one. There's more coming along the way in this series. Principle number one is, it's who I am. Not what I do. It's my identity. You have to start with your identity. We have probably been trying to change what we do, which is behavior modification, which doesn't work. It doesn't work because your identity drives your behavior. It doesn't work because of who I think I am. Who do you think you are? You know, there's probably a lot of ways we think of ourselves. Sometimes we let other people define us. Maybe a parent when you're a kid or a bully. Another thing we tend to do is we'll define ourselves by our worst sin or worst habits. And so we might think, I am fat, or I'm an addict, or I'm lazy, or I'm a loser because I never win. No, that's not who you are. But man, we're all tempted to think that way. One reason is because you have a spiritual enemy, Satan. I know, that sounds weird, right? This is where you're like, I don't know about this. I get it, but it's real. I mean, how do you explain all the evil in this world? Evil has to have a source, doesn't it? And the truth source that we rely on here at Verve, the Bible, says that we have a spiritual enemy. And he is trying to take you out. He wants you to lose and keep losing. And the weapon he uses against you is deception. And he strikes at your identity. He will lie to you about who you are. So it's not just that you yelled at your kids. You are a bad parent. It's not just that you didn't get hired. You're a victim. You never win. It's not just that you looked at porn. You are a porn addict. It's not just that you sinned. You're a sinner. Why is this a problem? Because your identity drives your behavior. Here's a way the Bible says this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 7. It says, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. Your identity Your self-identity, how you think of yourself, drives your behavior. There's all kinds of research that proves this, that generally what you do is not based on what feels best in the moment or a rational weighing out of pros and cons. No, you do what you do because of what you think of you. Your self-identity, how you think of yourself, drives your behavior. And even if you do put pros and cons on paper, your self-identity is driving that whole process. You do what you do because of what you think of you. So why does your friend keep going from loser boyfriend to loser boyfriend? She tell you it's because, well, that's who she is. She's always been that way. She needs a guy. She's always attracted to the wrong ones. Why do you, why do you keep struggling with money? Because, well, that's who you are. You're not good with money. That's the way you've always been. You spend too much. You're always in debt. No, that is not who you are. That's not the truth about you. But if you believe it, it doesn't matter what the truth is. You do what you do because of what you think of you. Your identity drives your behavior. And so if we want to change, it has to happen at the root, at our identity, at who we are. If we try to change without changing our identity, it's like pulling up a weed without getting to the root. The weed will come back. And this is one big reason we so often don't win. Like, it's one of the reasons those New Year's resolutions fail, right? But we make our resolutions. This year, I'm gonna save money. This year, when I'm upset, I will not be a Karen. I am going to quit smoking this year. Problem. The focus is on what we do. We try to change our behavior, but our identity drives our behavior. And so we have set ourselves up to lose. The behavior change will not last unless we change our self-identification. So let's take that person who decides to quit smoking. Well, quitting smoking is a behavior. And so the change they're attempting to make is a behavior modification. And then if someone asks, hey, you want a cigarette? What does that person say? No, thanks. I'm trying to quit. And what does that really communicate? I'm a smoker who is trying to do something else. That change won't last. To win, you have to begin with what you think of yourself. You need to do identification transformation, not behavior modification. That means you need to understand your true identity. Because listen, you are not who you think you are. You are not what your dad said or how your mom made you feel. You're not what the bully yelled at you or what you've convinced yourself. And you are not your worst sin or your worst habit. God made you and he knows you and he tells you the truth about who you are. So, who are you? Well, here's what God says. You are a new creation in Christ. You are loved. You are accepted. You are a child of God. You are Jesus' friend. You are the temple of God. You are forgiven. You are complete in Christ. You are chosen. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves you. That's who you are. and you need to understand your true identity. And you need to believe that that is your true identity, which is not easy. But what helps is praying about it and repeating it. Praying about it and repeating it. So ask God to help you believe the truth about you and keep thinking it, keep saying it. And you have believed a lie for so long about you, you need to convince yourself of the truth. Okay, so you need to understand your true identity. You need to believe your true identity, and you need to start with your identity. How do we win? By focusing more on who I am than on what I do. Start with your identity. Why? Well, we already said, right? Because your identity drives your behavior. If you don't start with your identity, any behavior change you make won't last. So let's get like really practical and see how this might look, okay? So maybe earlier I said, define your win. What do you want to do this year? Maybe you thought, man, my goal is to lose 15 pounds. No, you're not going to win because that is behavior modification. Instead, you want your goal, your win, to be something more like this. Because my body is the temple of God, I make healthy eating choices, and this year I will lose 15 pounds. See, you start with who you are. The goal of have a better marriage. First of all, what is that? It's hard to know if you want or not, because what is a better marriage? But even more significant, you didn't start with your identity. So here's what a marriage goal might look like. Because I am a godly husband, I will take my wife out on a weekly date, which will help us to have a better marriage. See how that starts with who you are, and it gives you a specific behavior or habit to move you towards the win. That is huge. We'll talk about that more in the upcoming weeks of this series. Let's do one more example. So let's say that you're the person, you're trying to quit smoking, okay? So that's the goal. I don't want to smoke anymore. And someone says to you, hey, want a cigarette? You don't say, no thanks, I'm trying to quit, which is what everybody says, right? What would you say? You would say this, maybe. No thanks, I don't smoke. No, thank you. I don't smoke. See, that could lead you to victory. Why? Because you've started with your identity. You've made it about who you are. You've made a choice. You are not a smoker. I don't care what used to be. That's not who you are anymore. No, thanks. I don't smoke. It's like, it's so different than no thanks, I'm trying to quit, right? You say, no thanks, I don't smoke. And you think, because my body is the temple of God, you attach it to your identity. Otherwise, it's just behavior modification, and that never works. Now, starting with your identity is just the start. The next 4 weeks of this series, we're going to learn a plan on how to win. It is going to be super practical. We are going to attack 2021. Like, I want you to picture 2021 as like a big fish, and you are that great white. Yes. How? Well, more to come. Okay, we're gonna dig in these next few weeks. But for today, to win, you have to define your win, and then start with your identity. You start with who you are. You do what you do because of what you think of you. And you need to believe the truth about you. You are a new creation in Christ. You are loved. You are accepted. You are a child of God. You are Jesus' friend. You are the temple of God. You are forgiven. You are complete in Christ. You are chosen. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You are more than a conqueror through Jesus who loves you. And all of that means you can win. You can change. You can live a new life. This can be your year. So let's pray for that right now. And then we're going to go to God. We're going to sing and have a chance for you to pray about all this. But first, let's pray. God, we are so tired of being tired. We're sick of being sick. We are tired of losing. What we want to do, God, is win. And so, God, we are praying that 2021 would be the best year. It would be the most essential and important year of our lives because this year we accomplished something that needed to be accomplished. We won. And so, God, would you help us today to start with this idea that I want to spend some time this week praying and defining a win and starting to think about who I truly am in Christ so I can start with my identity. God, I am so excited about the next few weeks as we really start to flesh out a plan for victory. We know, God, that we are more than conquerors in you, and so we can win with you. God, right now we're going to take some time. We're going to sing to you. Maybe there's some people who are like, I don't know about singing to God. I'm not there yet. And still, it's a good time just to think about what we've heard today and what we need to do with it. Thanks for being here with us, God. Thanks for meeting us where we're at. We pray all these things in your name. Amen.